the sanctuary. It's a great day to be back in the house of the Lord. Let's give God some praise for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Let's give a hand clap for our pastor. Okay. So first, let's just go over a few safety rules. We know we're still in a pandemic, so I ask that you keep your mask on as we continue through the service. We have hand sanitizers over there, and we just want to make sure we all stay safe, okay? Amen. So now I am going to say our prayer. I ask that you guys will stand. And if you're at home, feel free to join us as we stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Sunday. We thank you for another day that you have kept us. We thank you for another week that you have kept us. We thank you for another month that you have kept us. Lord, we thank you for the year. As we closely approach Christmas and the new year, we thank you for getting us through these years, through this year. Lord, we thank you for protecting us. We thank you for keeping us safe. We thank you for being who you are, Lord, that despite our ways, you still love us. We thank you for forgiveness, Lord. We thank you that at any time we can come to you and ask for forgiveness, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your mercy that you have on us, Lord. We thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus. We thank you for loving us, Lord. When nobody else loved us, Lord, you will always love us, Lord. We thank you for being our Father, Lord. We acknowledge that you are the great one, Jesus. We acknowledge that we are not worthy, but you still love us, Lord Jesus. I ask that you open our hearts today, Lord. I ask that you open our mind. I ask that you help us receive the word today, Lord Jesus. Let it change our life, Lord Jesus. Give us the courage to go out and preach your word, Lord Jesus, that we can win souls to Christ. And I ask that you continue to bless our congregation. I ask that you continue to bless our pastor, Lord Jesus. I ask that you continue to make a way for us to be virtual and spread your word across the world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please remain standing. Okay, so I'm going to read the scripture for today. We will be coming from James 1, 17 through 18. Say amen when you're ready. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning, verse 18, of this own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind and first fruits of his creatures. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. 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 So next we have praise and worship. Amen. Okay. So they're not here, so we're going to sing a song. Oh, okay. All righty. So now we're going to go to the Word. So we have a guest speaker today. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't know a better person to introduce him other than myself. I had the opportunity to know this speaker for 33 years, telling my age. I would read his bio, but I told him not to send it because I wasn't going to read it. So I said to myself, what should the congregation know about Pastor Scott? Who is my dad? So I came up with three things. I said they should know, one, he's a praying man. Two, he's a humble man. And three, he's a dependable man. So I said he's a praying man. One, I know this because I've seen it with my own eyes. I said he is a man that will pray anywhere in his house, including the common area, which is the living room. And there has been many Saturdays when I went downstairs with the expectation to watch TV and eat a bowl of cereal. But there was my dad praying right in the living room. Sometimes I would wait, hoping he would see me and allow me to watch television. But he wouldn't acknowledge me, or maybe he did, because sometimes he would start praying for me. And I knew that that was my cue to leave. I would go upstairs, break the news to my siblings. I said, we can't watch TV. He's downstairs praying again. I said, I don't know why he can't pray in his room like normal people. I said, thank God for First Lady Scott, my mother, because if we knew if she was down there with him, we were never getting to the television. And then second, he's a humble man. I was asked about a month ago what I was getting him for Christmas. And I answered, he didn't give us a list this year. He said, get me whatever you want. And I said, my dad is the easiest person to get a gift for. I said, because we can staple two tiles together and tell him that this is the new style. And he would say, thank you, children. Come give your father a kiss. And he would wear those tiles outside proudly and tell people my children got it from me. Unlike other people in my family, including myself, you better stick by that Christmas list. And last, he's a dependable man. Last month, I caught a flat, and I texted him, and I said, Dad, you will be proud of me. I didn't call you this time. And he texted back and said, I'm proud of you. Baby girl, you're growing up. And I said, thank you. And he said this because I call him for everything. Always frantic. I said, Dad, I got a flat. And he responds, well, did you call AAA? And I said, of course not. I called you. And he would say, call AAA. I'm on my way. He does not only show up for his family, but he shows up for other people. I've witnessed my dad be there, going to hospitals, going to people's homes, praying for them, speaking at funerals. Once I asked my dad, I said, how do you speak at a funeral of someone you don't know? And his answer was simple. He said, my job is to preach the word of God. And that is exactly what he does every time. And that's exactly what he plans on doing this morning. So it is my honor to introduce the speaker for this morning, my favorite guy in the entire world, Pastor Darrell Scott.
Amen. Am I going? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, everybody. Let's give God praise. Don't patty cake him. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We certainly give God praise for this morning, for being here. Amen. Amen. A little volume. Amen. The Bible says, in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we are so grateful. I'm grateful to be home. Amen. 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 I'm home, grateful to be in. First, being home, we do want to honor my pastor. Amen. Pastor Jonathan Ford. Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Ford. Amen. And to First Lady, amen. And we do honor, so glad to see. And I tell you, I was nervous when I heard, when Pastor Ford told me, he said, we were having our service. I was getting together with Mainline Reformed Temple. And I said, uh-oh. I said, we got the rabbi. I said, oh, I'm nervous. I got to be on my P's and Q's. This man, he knows his word. I said, oh, look, he just makes me nervous, but amen. I'm going on anyway. Amen. And so let's give it up for Rabbi Strauss. Amen. Glad that he's with us. Amen. And two, amen. Brother Aaron always say, not the first lady, but the only lady. Amen. Give it up for my wife. Amen. Sister Rochelle Scott. Amen. And to each and everyone and to the liturgists, you look very familiar. Amen. Feel like I've been knowing you for a while. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful accolades. Amen. And to each and everybody, I'm so happy to see representative of St. Mark with us this morning, our evangelist Kim Rogers. Amen. And our sister Angie Williams with us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being with me on this morning. We're just so grateful to be in the fellowship. We're so grateful. Again, I honor each and every one of you, each and every one. Love you, love you. We are glad that we're in the land of the living one more time. Amen. With so much that is going on today. Amen. It's just good to walk outside your door and walk back in. Amen. But and like I said, in everything, give God thanks because you never know. It used to be an old song. Y'all know me by now, right? Taylor Tabernacle. I love the old songs. Amen. Deacon Thompson, yeah, you know. Amen. You know, he said, this may be my last time. I don't know. So I believe I'll testify while I have a chance. I believe I'll sing my song while I have a chance. I believe I'll clap my hands. Why? While I have a chance. Because I may not have this chance anymore. So whenever we are with the saints of God. Amen. We're going to make the most of it. Look, we might as well just go, look, let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him, and let's give Him the glory. Amen. And even especially during this Advent season, we come to give Him the highest praise. Well, you know what? I used to say, we're not going to make you happy twice. Just glad to see me get up and glad to see me sit down. So we're not going to try to do that. Amen. But y'all pray. You all, look, if you all just say amen, I'll be out of your way real soon. All right? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew, the first chapter, and we're going to be reading verses 18 to 21. Yes. Once you get it, we ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Again, that's Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 18 to 21. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait up. All right, I didn't hear no wait up. All righty. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads as thus in your hearing. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen. If we will use just for a title for this morning, it would be the miracle that saved my life. The miracle that saved my life. Let us look to the Lord. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We give you praise. We bless you. We thank you for this day. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our soon coming King. So Father God, Lord, it's now preaching time. We pray, oh God, Lord, that you will open up our hearts, open up our minds, that we may receive a word, Lord. A word, Lord, not just any word, but a word, a right now word. Lord, I decrease that you increase. Lord, use me as your vessel, for that's all I am. I am nothing without you, but everything. I can do all things through Christ with you, Lord. I thank you. I praise you, and I give you the glory. Have your way. Heal, deliver, and set free. And we thank you for what you're going to do, for what you already have done, and to you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We realize that in this holiday season, Christ is the center of our celebration. And yet, it is still surrounded, and we still emphasize family. Because there's something about family that just makes the season a little bit more brighter. Something about having family that brings about a sense of wholeness or a sense of togetherness, a sense of oneness. You know, when you're with family, amen, you're at ease. You can be who you want to be, amen. Because guess what? You don't have to put on no acts, because guess what? If anybody knows you, your family knows you. Can I get an amen? I don't care how much you try to act in front of others, but there's somebody that knows you, and it's usually family. And so we see here that family, again, is important, and family was also important to God. Family was important to our Creator. In fact, the first family he made was Adam and Eve. And even then, in that family setting, God came and he walked and talked with them. And they had everything that they need for a family. And yet, even with all that they needed, they still messed up. They still sinned. Amen. And so the family, not only they were disconnected from God, but the family was disconnected from God. But in God's infinite wisdom, God had a plan. Amen. It didn't come as a surprise. He didn't get frantic. Now, don't you love this about your God? See, we get a little perturbed, upset, and amen, we don't know what to do. But God, when things happen, God don't get upset. Amen. God has a plan. Now, I'm getting ready to shock you. Pastor Ford, you know I don't usually do shock treatment. Amen. But hold on to your seats, okay? And hope, you know, and if you want to write me at Darrell Scott. Here's my email address, TaylorTabernacle.com. But God had a plan, and he had, it was called family planning. Now, I know what y'all are saying, like, wait a minute, Planned Parenthood. I know what y'all are saying. Before you throw your stones, hear me out. Say, well, Pastor, if you knew what was consistent in Planned Parenthood, are you saying that God had that same thing in mind? Yes. And I'm going to prove it to you. Okay? Planned Parenthood, I believe one of the aspects is that they do, they teach about sex education. Now, I am mindful that there are children. Amen. You know what, Nita, when I thought about it, I said, you know, I got to be careful about what I say because we got children. Then I thought about it. These kids know stuff at six that I didn't learn until I was 16. So, so they're looking at me, what? You didn't know that? I'm like, okay. But, so one of the things about how to educate, and what they do is they educate based on their thinking, And they're more concerned about the repercussions. So they teach you on how to avoid any repercussions from your act. Now, I want to tell you that God has a sex education plan. And you know what it's called? Abstinence. Amen. God bless you, poinsettias. Amen. Abstinence. See, that's 100% proof. You can guarantee it. Rabbi, you can take it to the bank. Look, when you stay away and don't do nothing, guess what? It's safe. But look at the plan of God. But see, when abstinence, he also has a timing. And what is that timing? That timing is when two people can come together in holy matrimony. So the education there is abstinence. Now, are y'all really ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, hold on to your seat. Now, the world has something else, and part of this Planned Parenthood. And God had it as well, and I'm going to prove it. And that is, you ready? Abortion. Woo! Scott, you crazy. Listen to me. See, the world wants to take human life. But God, he had a plan. And you know what? See, God wants not to abort the human. God wants to abort every negative, contrary thought about you. Let me say that again. God wants to abort every negative and contrary thought about you that goes against what he says. Oh, I feel like preaching now. Come on. Huh? Yeah. See. And you say, look, I need Bible, Pastor. I need Bible. I'm glad you do. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves in the garden? And they sold themselves thick leaves, and God said, Adam, where art thou? Adam jumped up and said, hey, Lord, guess what? We sinned. We were naked. And what was the first thing God said to him? God said, who told you? Oh, I wish I had help in here today. And the reason why I know he wants to abort that thought, he said, who told you? And the reason that you did it, because once they told you, you thought about it, and guess what? You acted upon it. So that's why he wants to abort every negative thought, every negative thing about you. Let me give you something. This is free. This is free, Pastor. Amen. When you go home today, and I thought about this. I said, you know, we're looking at killings and we're looking at how they're being done by young people more and more. And I said, you know what? I don't have a remedy, Sister Helena. But one thing I do know where we can start. We can start with our children and tell them from a young age, let them know who they are. The problem I believe that we're having, and this is just me, that sometimes we spend more time on other things, telling them about other things, instead of telling them about who they are. When you go home, before you open up the Xbox, before you open up the PlayStation, before you get the i13, 14, whatever number it is, you need to sit down and tell them who you are, because guess what? You are wonderful. You are marvelous. And guess what? I'm going to let you know who you are to God. I want to let you know who you are to God, because in Psalms 100, it said, it is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. Woo! I need to calm down now. I get excited. Amen. But we need to let them know who they are. And look, and this is why we have a baby dedications, because we need to give the baby back to the Lord so they'll forever know who they are. So, man has fallen into sin. And not only sin, since he sinned, humanity has fell into sin. And so, I asked myself, Sister Marvin, talking to the scriptures, I said, well, Lord, since man fell and humanity fell into sin, and looked like as time went on, the sin got worse and their actions got worse. said, Lord, why didn't you just start all over? Why didn't you just scrap everything and start with a new creation? You know how we do when you write a letter. Oh, no, that's not it. So what do? Rip it up and start all over. So I asked that evangelist, why didn't you just start over and create a new? And then I found out something. See, one, God, when he created man out of love. So when he looks at man, he looks at what he loves. But because man sins, sin is now entered in. So when he looks at man, he sees what he hates. But the reason why he can't destroy or start over again, because remember, he put everything he had into man. So if he destroyed man, it would hurt himself, because guess what? He had everything put into him because he was made by him. So then he came to me, the Spirit said, wait. He said, I want you to know one thing. I can't destroy man, because guess what? Even in the midst of his wrong, there is so much potential that all we got to do is just have a plan to pull out the potential that will accomplish my purpose. So that's why I can't destroy him. And so he says, look here, I'm going to do something that is normal to me, but to you it's called a miracle. See, God can do the impossible and it's nothing. But when we look at it, we have to say it's a miracle. Because he made this world, what? Out of nothing. See, we got to have something to make something. Because you know what the old song says? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something. Even if you don't want to be with me, you got to have something. Amen. And so we see God's plan going into effect. In Genesis, the third chapter and the 15th verse, I want to read something to you. And this is a glimpse of God's plan. Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is recorded, as most theologians say, as the first messianic promise, or the first promise prophecy. So now we already see God has a plan. Not like ours. Isn't it beautiful? God, he don't do things the way we do. That's why the Bible says his ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. As far as the heavens are from the earth. See, you know what's so special about when he do it? Even though I don't got to understand it, all I got to do is trust him. When I can't trace God, all I got to do is trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I'm acknowledging, I don't know, but guess what? I'm trusting you with all of my heart. Because at the end, your will be accomplished. Look at what he says here. And did y'all see what was strange about this plane? Did y'all see it? Say, Pastor, we didn't see it. Tell me. Stop playing around. All right, thank you. He says, he will put enmity between the woman. Now, he's not dealing with man. He gave Adam everything. He said, look, you in charge. So, look here. He takes out the man. And he says, guess what? Part of the punishment, but a promise. He said, there's going to be something between the enemy seed and, watch this, the woman seed. Now, let me teach you a little something, just a little bit. It is often referred to, and we know that when you talk about seed is usually referred to the man, the male, because he has the seed. Women, you know, have the ground. Amen? All right. And so, but notice what God says. God says, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. So if man has the seed, where in the world will a woman get the seed from? All right, I'll let that marinate for a little bit. And as we move on in time, man begins to get wickeder, if that's a word. He begins to get more wicked. But yet, even though, and at this point, there's a part of the scripture which God, he had to leave because it got so bad. He just had to leave, step back for a moment. Amen. Look, when he left, he just stepped back. His presence was still there, but he had to step back. Okay? You know how you got to do sometimes. Sometimes when things get a little bad, even though you're a part of it, you just got to step back. Hallelujah. Amen. Just step back so you can evaluate and everything, and then refresh yourself. So he steps back. Time goes on. And watch this. We come with to Isaiah. And Isaiah the prophet says something. And look, this is still a part of God's plan. Now remember, he told you it's going to be from the seed of the woman. Now look at God. Look at his other plan. In Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. All right? We got this. Look, he's still with us. He's still got his plan. His plan is still in motion. And look, he's giving us a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin, somebody say virgin. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here's the strangest thing. Now, here's the second part, Reverend Radcliffe. A virgin. Someone who hasn't been, now, you know that first plan about abstinence? If you do that, you'll remain a virgin until a certain time. Now, he says, There's going to be a son, and it's going to be delivered by a virgin. Very interesting. And not only that, he says, man is not going to have a part in this. You know why he's not going to have a part in this? Because he's not going to have a part because this is the doing of the Lord. And the first thing he does is he takes away the privilege for a father to name their son. Everybody knows, you know, we had children, right? Anybody who had children? And what, you know, while they were coming, what's one of the things you thought about? Besides getting the bed and the room, you thought about what? The name. Because that's important. That's the identity. So you want to give them a name. And that's usually done by the parents. And so, you know, I'm going to name Chiquita. I'm going to name him, Boogaloo. You know, I'm going to name him what I name. Oh, look, I'm going to just name him after me. But God took that privilege from the man, and he said, when the child is born, he already has a name. His name shall be called Emmanuel. And y'all ought to be happy right then and there, because guess what? Emmanuel is just not a name, but if you do the interpretation, Emmanuel means God with us. Even in the midst of my sin, God is still with us. Even in the midst of my wrong, God is still with us. Even in the midst of no hope, God is still with us. Even when things are so confusing, God, that's why I call on the name Emmanuel. Why? He's still with us. No, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stop getting into a schism. Stop getting frantic. Just remember, Emmanuel, God is with us. And guess what? It's all in the plan. And if you notice, this plan got some miracles in it. Ain't no virgin getting pregnant without something happening. Amen. Ain't nothing happening through the seed of a woman. It got to be a miracle. So we move on. I'm almost done. We're getting ready for that salsa, Pastor. Amen. I'm just about done. So now we go to Matthew, the first chapter. We done went through the Old Testament. Now we come to the New Testament. And here we see that Matthew is given the account, the genealogy from Joseph's perspective. You have Mary's genealogy in the book of Luke. And I went to Matthew, and it says in the 18th verse, it says that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So now Matthew's already proven through the lineage that he comes through Abraham through the seed of David. And he's writing to a specific audience. So the Jews let them know, hey, that this guy Jesus, we got proof that he's the one. So look what he says. He starts out, he says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as like this. After Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before he came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Can we sit here just for a moment? This is what I would call a recipe for a home wreck. Would you agree? Can we take off the mask? Not your physical one, but can we just take off the mask? God, you're supposed to bring families together. But it looks like to me, you started out wrong. Because it says that she was betrothed. And let me explain betrothed. Betrothed is like an engagement. It's a legal agreement. Amen. It's usually oftentimes done between the families, the party. The fathers get together and they say, look, this is going to be my daughter. It's going to be your son's wife. Your son's going to be my daughter's husband. So it's like an agreement. Okay. And so she's already taken off the market. Y'all know it's like going to a store. When you first went, oh, it was on sale. Next time you went, it said sold. So now she's off the market. And so it's already known. But hey, we're together. But when Matthew says, come here, he says she was betrothed. And then, here we go, before they came together, that simply means before they got busy, amen, trying to keep it clean, amen. Before they got together, she was found with child. Wait a minute, Pastor, I got you now. I got you. Didn't you just tell me that the best plan it's abstinence. That's what I said. So how in the world is this woman pregnant? Let me tell you something. This woman is not pregnant by man. This woman is pregnant through the divine creator. Now, I know that's a little hard to believe sometimes. Like, wait a minute. That you see, people have problem with the virgin birth. Ain't that funny? They got problem with the virgin birth, but they don't have problem with the crossing of the Red Sea. Ain't that problem? They have problem with the virgin birth, but they don't have problems with you being healed of stage 4 cancer. Don't they have problems with the virgin birth, but they don't have problems that, look, God made a way out of no way for you? That seems to be a problem. But I want to let you know, look here, when God is involved, it changes the whole equation. See, now we're not working on normality, but now we're working on the miraculous. So, it says, and look, Joseph says, okay, Matthew said, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That's important. Remember, she found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then now look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Let me read verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He mentioned twice. Here you go. Whenever you see something mentioned twice, God is trying to tell you something. He mentions the Holy Spirit in this particular curriculum twice. So, look at this. So this is what we got. Joseph can't, he's like, no, I can't take it. Joseph can't believe it, okay? And Joseph was a just man. Grew up, amen, understood the law. He was the husband that every mother would want for their daughter, okay? He was a just man. But guess what? When he found out that Mary was pregnant, the seed was planted in his mind. Watch this. He did what any man or woman would do. Whenever there's a problem, they don't take it to God. They'll usually try to solve it themselves. And so he says, well, look here. I'm not going to make her a public example. I'm not going to put the word out on her. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to put her away privately. And look what the scripture says, church. He thought on these things. And then verse 20 said that while he thought on these things, the angel appeared to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. I want to let you know something, a couple of things here. Don't this sound familiar? Joseph wanted to put Mary away after he thought she had done wrong. And so he wanted to do it himself. He tried to, so he thought about it because the seed was already planted. So guess what? He tried to take it into his own hand. Now, don't that sound familiar? If you go back to the beginning where I started, when Adam and Eve sinned, guess what? They took it in their own hands. The seed was already planted. So they said, we're going to remedy this the way we know how. And so here the same thing is happening right here. Joseph saying, look, I'm not going to marry you, and I'm not going to put you to public shame, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you away privately to protect you. But I'm so glad that God is with us. Somebody say, Emmanuel. I would have went the wrong way. Look. And sometimes you got to say, hey, look, don't this look familiar? Don't this look similar? And you got to tell yourself, look here, I am not going through this again. Because when it happened the first time, all hell broke loose. I was, it's going down. The devil was after me. The demons was after me. I tried to fix it, and all hell just broke loose. And it looked like I'm about to go to the same thing. But I'm so glad that God stepped in. Emmanuel, God with us. He said, wait a minute, before that seed grow in your mind, I'm going to step in and tell you that what is in her is not from you, but it's from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at the neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. See, the reason why you got the Holy Ghost is a keeper. The Holy Ghost is a protector. The Holy Ghost is a provider. The Holy Ghost is what changes your mind. And guess what? We're getting ready for a miracle. And so he says, look here. And he will save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad about it, church? Amen. See, I don't have to go through that same hell that they went through before. Because guess what? There's a new seed planted in my mind. Look at this. Look. It's about the seed. The seed of the woman. The virgin bringing forth. Now the seed that is planted in him is by the Holy Ghost. I came to let you know today, church, that look, this is the time for your miracle. It was a miracle that saved my life. God didn't need man to do it because guess what? If man had it did it, then man would have been above God. If man had it did it, man would have been above God. But, watch this, but God, hallelujah, God stepped in and said, look here, I'm doing this because guess what? To get you out of where you need to be, it's going to take a miracle. To get me out of stinking thinking, it's going to take a miracle. To get me out of my past, it's going to take a miracle. To get me moving to my future, it's going to take a miracle. And so we see that Joseph, he's got the word, take her, because it's from God. And so, church, today, I came to tell you, it was a miracle that saved my life. You can't have Christmas. And look. You can't have Christmas without the cross. Because look here. The manger started it. But the cross finished it. God bless you. Thank you all. Amen. God bless you. The manger, the cradle started it. But it was the cross that finished it. Because guess what? That saving part, when he died on the cross, amen, his blood was shed. And look, it cleansed me from my sins. So I'm grateful that, look, it took a miracle of love and grace. And so without the cross, without the cradle, we can't have, we've got to have the cross. Amen. And with the resurrection, we now have life. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give you a Christmas card. I didn't bring none with me physically, but I did bring a Christmas card for you. And that Christmas card is found in Luke. Luke, the fourth chapter. And the verse that I've meant to write it down, but the verse is right up on there. This is my Christmas card to you. And Reverend Scott is sitting down. It says, because he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember now, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Okay? So he says, I got the DNA of my Father. And so God is a Spirit. And then I worship him, must worship him in spirit. All right. Let me finish reading the Christmas card to you. He said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Watch this. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, all that was the Merry Christmas part. The Mary was the anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the broken heart, proclaim liberty to the captive, recover the sight, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's your Merry Christmas. Here's your Happy New Year. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's it. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Look. Can I just say something about this? I said, well, this is kind of a crazy Christmas card, Brother Khalil. Amen. But that last part got me, Rabbi, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I know that when Jesus came, he came to heal my broken heart. I know that when Jesus came, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. I know that when Jesus came, he came to set at liberty those who are free. I know that when Jesus came, he came to bring sight to the blind. I know that when he came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. But he said, this is also the acceptable year of the Lord. Happy New Year. Your New Year starts when you do something. Let me give you this example. I never forget when I started going online. When I went online and I tried to pay my bill. And so I filled out all the information, name, put it, you know, address, and I put in my credit card one. And at the bottom, it said submit. So I hit submit, and guess what? It didn't go through. I'm like, wait a minute. So I did it again. I made sure my name was in, spelled it with all caps, made sure my address was in, and gave them the credit card number and the expiration date. I hit submit, and guess what? It said decline. I said, wait a minute, something's not right. Now I'm mad. Can you imagine a person being mad trying to pay a bill? I would have been happy to say forget about it, but I knew that wasn't happening. So I got upset. And finally, when I did it the last time, I put my name, address, credit card number. But guess what? I didn't hit submit. You know why I didn't hit submit? Because there was another line that I didn't see. And it said you had to put a check to accept the terms. Oh, God help me. The reason why it didn't go through is because I didn't accept it. Woo! Merry Christmas. Look, if you want to be healed, all you got to do is accept that this is your year. If you want to be saved, all you got to do is accept. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It was a miracle that saved my life. And that miracle is called Jesus. God bless you. God bless you.
Into our heart and into our life that calls us to be born again. So we thank God. God working his way through it.
There we go. Again, thank God for our Pastor Scott and his diligence in the Word of God and for his walking us through the wonderful story of Christmas and the birth of Christ. And that birth not only in the little town of Bethlehem, but more importantly in the heart of all of those that love and accept his gift of salvation. And so, at this point, we want to give an opportunity for those here in our sanctuary, as well as those joining us online. If you are here and you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you have not acknowledged him as the Creator and Savior of your life, and you would like to do so today, you can become a Christian today. You can acknowledge your sin. You can confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and receive God's miracle, God's gift for you. And so if that is your desire today, you can pray that prayer of salvation. If you're joining us virtually, you can go to our website. You can hit the Contact Us page and send us a message and say, today, after hearing the gospel, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Today, after receiving God's miracle, God's gift in my life, I am now born again, and I am a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would make that decision. Let's not put it off any longer. The year is far spent and well over. Just one more week. Do not allow the year to end without accepting Christ as your Savior. Amen? Amen. Thank you again. Thank you again, Reverend Scott. Thank you again for all of you that are joining us online or in person. Thank you for this great fellowship. Thank you for St. Mark's Baptist Church. Thank you to Mainline Reformed Temple and to all of us that are gathering this Sunday before the Christmas holiday. At this time, with the remaining moments we have in our program, we are going to go into our time of giving. And so our ushers are coming around. If you need an offering envelope for your giving this Sunday, slip your hand up. They will get you an offering envelope. Also, I want to let you know how our giving is going to be conducted. First, you can give via text message, and you can do that by texting the code TAYLOR, capital TAYLOR 61, to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instruction for giving. You can also give through our website. So whether you're home or here in the sanctuary with your phone, you can go to our website, taylortabernacle.com, and go to our giving page and follow the instructions there. You can also give by U.S. mail. If you are not here with us for in-person worship, you can send a check or money order to our mailbox, Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And lastly, for those of us who are here for in-person worship, you can complete your envelope. And we have two offering baskets over here by the exit door, one for our church and one for our guest preacher. And you can feel free to drop your offering off there. Amen. And so we thank you for your liberality in giving. I want to say as your pastor, I appreciate everyone who has continued to support the church financially throughout this entire year. Thank you for your online giving. Thank you for those who mail in their offering. Thank you to those who use our websites and for those of you that join us for in-person worship. We appreciate your financial support of the ministry and your kindness. Amen. Now, just a few brief announcements before we conclude our worship experience. First, I want to let you know to everyone that is on our mailing list, and you receive our weekly news blast, if you will, via Constant Contact. Last week and this week, there are two important newsletters that is contained in our email blast, so I want you to pay attention to it this week. One is a newsletter providing tips for getting through the holidays and managing stress. Okay? Very helpful newsletter. Again, tips for getting through the holidays and managing stress. So that newsletter is there. And also, there is a second newsletter, Navigating Through the Holidays While Dealing with COVID and Grief. Okay? Navigating through the holidays while dealing with COVID and grief. As we all know, many of us have been affected either directly or indirectly, either by COVID and or by an untimely death in our families. So these newsletters are providing some very helpful information which you can incorporate this week into your routine, into your daily schedule, to help you manage the stress of the holidays. Many of us will be limiting our gatherings. Many of us will be missing family from our meal table. And so we wanted to provide some helpful information that can help you handle the difficult days ahead. Amen. So that'll be in your email. Take advantage of that. Also, as we've been sharing all month, to celebrate the closing of the first season of our urban garden, we have today, our gardeners, Lynn and David, have prepared fresh salsa made from the tomatoes, onions, and peppers grown in our garden this season. If you would like a jar of fresh salsa after the conclusion of our service, if you would go outside to the garden, they have the table already set up. One jar per family. Amen? And you will have to provide your own chips. Amen. So the chips are on you. The salsa is on us. The chips are on you. In addition, by way of our friend, Pastor Carolyn Cavanis of Bethel AME Church of Ardmore, we also have blessing bags, which consist of fresh vegetables, fresh collard greens, sweet potatoes, a jar of honey, a jar of blueberry and lemon jam, and a container of stone ground grits, all in a bag and ready to go. And these are coming to us from the Black Church Food Security Network, the Black Farmers Association, okay? And again, if you go outside in the garden, the bags will be on the table that you can get a bag of fresh vegetables and a jar of fresh salsa, amen? And to make sure that we have enough for everybody, we are asking that you limit it just to one per family. That way it's enough for everyone in attendance, amen? So we invite you after the benediction to join us outside, and you can take advantage of those items that are available to you, okay? And so a special thanks again to those of you that are joining us from Mainline Reformed Temple. Special thanks to you that are joining us from St. Mark's Baptist Church. Special thank you to our online audience and to all of you that are gathered here in the sanctuary. At this time, our closing remarks and benediction are being given today by our very dear friend, Rabbi David Strauss from Mainline Reform Temple. Shall we stand as he comes?
Thank you, Pastor, for your kind words. Thank you, Pastor, for your teaching, your sermon, your inspiration this morning. Pastor Ford has asked that I share with you these words of blessing from the book of Numbers. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May God always bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'chunecha. May God's countenance always shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May God's presence and spirit always be with you and grant you peace. And let us say, Amen. Best wishes to all of you for a very happy, healthy, joy-filled, and meaningful celebration of Christmas.